So in this video, I'm going to welcome back Karen for the last time in this section, and we're going to go problem solving. Shall we, Karen?
Absolutely.
Shall we do that?
Yeah.
So what I'm going to use the Gerard Egan problem solving stroke skilled helper framework. Very, very simple process. And this is what you're going to see is just a conversation, all right? I'm going to show you this isn't like a rigid process. We're not taking notes or anything like this. What I've found over the years is that sometimes the greatest impacts can be made when we're just having conversations with people, all right? Hence the reason this is what I want to demonstrate and show you, that change isn't mystical, it's not magical, there's no amazing techniques getting done, there's no magic getting done behind the scenes that you're unaware of. I'm not a magician, I'm not a guru or a Zulu or anything like this. This is just conversational change work. That's all that we're seeing here. And all I'm doing is just conversing with Karen and helping her to look at her life, her situations, circumstances, issues, problems, her goals, dreams, ambitions, whatever, from a different perspective, all right? That's it, because people are naturally self-governing and will solve their own issues, right, without our input or advice or guidance, believe it or not, right? It's just about us supporting them and helping them to get there. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, but isn't all this staged? Of course it's not staged. Why? Because I don't know anyone in the world who is completely problem-free. I am most certainly not problem-free, right? I've got loads of them, right? I've got loads of issues. Karen, yeah, I can vouch for Karen. She's got loads of issues all of the time also, all right? So I'm using this opportunity just to help Karen to address one of them. And I'm going to use this Gerard Egan framework, all right? These kind of three different stages, which we demonstrated in that last video. So first things first, right? I'm just wondering if we can define an actual, specific, real problem that you have in your life. Mm. Let's just talk about it and see where it goes.
Okay. A little bit in line with some of the things I've shared already. I find that I'm often under pressure to get my workload done in time.
You're under pressure?
Yeah. And I feel stressed because I leave things till last minute, important things till last minute.
Okay, cool. So if we're just to analyse and really unpack this problem, wonder what the problem actually is. Is the problem the time pressure or is it the feeling?
Problem is the time pressure.
How do you know that you have time pressure, though?
Because I feel stressed.
So I'm
often working towards a deadline. A deadline. So there is a time pressure in terms of there's a deadline that I'm trying to meet.
Is this like a deadline you've put on yourself or a deadline that someone else has put on you?
A deadline that someone else has put on me.
Okay, cool. So this task or this deadline, is this something you would perceive as being really important or really urgent? For you personally?
Me personally.
Really important or just really urgent?
Really urgent.
So it's really urgent?
Yeah.
So it's urgent because someone else has a level of expectation off you and they've perhaps given you a time frame to operate within.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So see what we've done here first and foremost. We've integrated in the Eisenhower matrix and we've established that Karen's issue or problem is in response to a time frame that has been placed upon you by someone else.
Yeah.
So this is you working to someone else's agenda first and foremost.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, could you give me a wee bit more context? Just tell me about this. Tell me about this problem. How it is for you?
Yeah.
How would it expresses itself in your life?
So, I'll prioritize the things that are important to me, and leave some things that are not so important until last minute, or they're urgent, but they're not important. So I'll end up leaving some urgent tasks till last minute with not enough time to get them done. And because there's then a deadline to meet and I don't have very much time to get them all done, I feel stressed and under pressure. And then sometimes that means that other things can sort of go out the window, like dinner or
Are
balance
you
or
are you taking your turn to go and do the grocery shopping
yeah, exactly.
or
Yeah,
something like that?
it's like because I've got such little time, I'm like fully tunnel visioned on this stuff that now needs to be done because I've not started these urgent things early enough.
Interesting. So I'm just wondering, first and foremost, whose problem is this?
It's my problem.
Who owns the problem? Does this problem have an owner yet, or we're still waiting for someone else to own it? That was a tricky question, wasn't it?
I've only really just identified it, that it is a problem. So I
Ah,
haven't actually owned it yet in terms
you've
of
not
looking for a
actually. So
resolve.
this is
So,
very, very relevant.
yes.
This is very relevant to where you're at right now. Interesting. Okay. So this problem, you sometimes you put things off.
I put things off. I do put things off, yeah.
You put things off,
Yeah.
such as, give us an example.
Such as doing some of the such as doing some research or doing some of the tasks on my to-do list, which are I'm not passionate about them, but they just need done. They're just mostly just practical, everyday to-do things, like
Practical stuff.
yeah.
Practical stuff that has to get done, and if you don't do it, then it's not going to get done, which is going to come at the cost to someone else or something else.
And it's my
And
responsibility.
it's your responsibility.
Yeah.
So it's your responsibility. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being completely irresponsible and 10 being fully responsible, how much responsibility have you taken for it?
Probably about 7.
Seven.
Yeah.
What would happen if that 7 was to change to a 10 and you were to take full responsibility for it? What would then change?
My drive towards just getting these things done would change
And when would you be inclined to get these things done?
immediately, as soon as I know I have to do them, or as soon as I physically have a space to do them.
Interesting, okay. Now, I'm just wondering, all right, because we've obviously had a few conversations up until now. So I understand that no problem ever stands alone in isolation. Generally, problems are habitual until we've outgrown or overcome or defeated an enemy in life. Well, we're going to struggle to move beyond it, all right? It's kind of like end of level devils and end of stage baddies and things like that. So I'm just wondering if you putting things off is in any way connected to you holding back. Remember what we talked about earlier on in the course, you holding back.
Yes.
I'm wondering what the connection is. I'm just getting a hunch that there's a connection and that this might actually be the greater issue. So this is us, we've defined the problem, now we're analysing it, by the way.
Okay, so I'll not do things immediately, or I'll put them off sometimes through like fear of wanting to keep other people happy, or I guess at times apathy, yeah.
Apathy, interesting. So if we can even just link this in with that other decision-making framework that we looked at, you know, about goal-setting efficiency,
Yeah.
right? Sometimes we'll say yes to doing things or we'll do things that might serve other people, but they won't serve us. Or they might help other people, but it's actually going to really cost us something.
Yeah.
In return. And that's not just about, that's not just about being selfless. It's sometimes kind of quite unwise, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It sometimes comes at a huge cost.
Huge cost, because I guess that, you know, I could give you 10 things right now that are important to do, that all need done, and you could put all 10 things off, but that doesn't make them go away.
No. No, exactly.
And then there's only going to be more things to do tomorrow, so you're kind of delaying the inevitable.
Yes. That's exactly what it feels like.
Delaying the inevitable.
Yeah.
Okay, this is interesting. So I'm wondering what it is that putting stuff off is actually costing you. Because you know how there's sometimes things that we'll do or not do that won't serve us and won't serve other people? You know, there's like win-win scenarios, win-win things we can do. So it's things that we'll build into our lives, perhaps habits or attitudes or things like that. Serve us, serve other people. But then sometimes we'll have habits in our life that actually don't serve us and don't serve other people either. Actually just costs everyone.
Mm.
So how does putting things off actually come into the equation here?
Mm.
How does putting things off actually help anyone?
Like, for example, I might sometimes put something off because of a boundary. Like, it's important for us to have time. But within reason, you know, within a balance, like, perhaps that's even a justification, actually. Like, because when I do put it off, then it comes at a cost to me. I'm stressed. And some of the other things that are important to me when this other important, urgent stuff has come up and needs to be done goes out the window.
I'm just wondering now, this might be another perspective we could look at here. What happens then on this time off that we then have? Now, obviously, we're just talking as a husband and wife, all right, to give you a real-life example. So what happens then in this time off? So we've got time off, mm-hmm. all right? Time off not doing stuff, not doing urgent stuff or important stuff.
Yeah.
Right, so that's what we're not doing. We're not doing anything urgent or anything important. So we're not doing anything progressive.
No.
Right? So what happens then in that time if we have a conversation and then it comes to light that you haven't taken responsibility for completing a really important task that you said that you take responsibility for? What then does that damage? What does that come at?
That then damages the trust between us.
Oh.
Or potentially other people as well.
Interesting. And if the trust is damaged, what does that... what does that damage, or how does that outwork itself?
If the trust is damaged, then our connection comes at the cost of our connection. Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? So we're just looking at the cost here. We're looking at how the habit, it's the habit of putting stuff off, is actually bringing a problem into existence. Now I can only just go off my own experience here. I never have that stress. I never have this problem. Why? Because the approach I take to life is I'll generally address issues as they arise. So if a problem arises right now, I'll deal with it right now. I won't put off until tomorrow what I can do today.
Mm.
This is it's more of a standard, I guess, I built into my life.
Yeah.
So just based on that, I just wonder what your problem would look like if you were to really raise your standards in this area. If you were to really raise your standards, what new standard could you build into your life that you perhaps aren't currently operating out of?
Yeah. If I were to raise the standard, this is now in line with some of the things we've spoken about already, like having a good morning routine where I've actually established what is urgent and important every day. The stuff that I'm putting off needs to come into that. It's often because I don't have a very good system in place of prioritising that. It kind of gets left as one big task and then all of a sudden it all needs done in one day. And that's not...
And then you end feasible. Up with stress, because stress equals time plus limited space. You've run out of time and you've got so much to do and not very much headspace to be able to prioritise what you need to do, because everything's urgent and everything's important.
Yeah, all in one day. Yeah.
All in one day.
Yeah.
My goodness. All right. Has operating like this, has being like this, ever not been a problem for you?
Well, in fact, I can't really remember not being a problem says that it's always been a problem.
It's possibly been a bit of a habit of a lifetime. And old habits die hard, don't they? All right, cool. So let's just look now, see if we can identify some possible solutions that are going to enable you to start breaking this habit today. Because it doesn't seem like the habit's serving you, and it doesn't seem like it's serving me, your husband, or anyone else, for that matter. And just thinking about what you discussed in the last session, the last conversation that we had, one of the ideas you said, one of the goals that you have is to be an available mum.
Yes.
So I guess it might be useful to look for actual, tangible, pragmatic, practical solutions that you can build into your life today, not tomorrow, today, right? That are going to enable you to start getting more time and space in your life. Because I'm guessing if you don't do this right now, i.e. today, not tomorrow, then you're not going to become that available mum that you want to be for your children.
No.
I'm just wondering, in truth, what habits you have built into your life that kind of make you more like your mum than what you'd even care to imagine or admit? In what way are you both similar?
Well, she's a busy woman.
A busy woman.
Yeah. Where she kind of gets that tunnel vision thing sometimes, where if something's like in the diary, that it's in the diary and there's no flexibility there, you know. And in the same way, like she'll be busy at times, which means there's not space for connection in her life, like sometimes with me or other people, or it's because she's pre-planned everything, there's not much space.
Okay, got you. So her kind of rigidity and inflexibility in kind of managing her time leaves no space for
last minute
connection. Hey, let's meet for a coffee, let's go for a chat, let's hang out, let's chew the fat, that sort of thing. Okay, and I'm taking that's something that you would like more of.
Yeah.
So that's something you would like more of. Now, so in terms of managing your life and your time in this way, is this how you operate?
So, in a way, yeah. So I'll be through my own lack of discipline in doing things straight away, or having a structure and an order to how I do things. It means that often I don't also have space for connection.
So perhaps then what I see is, I'm just looking again just what the problem might actually be here, where perhaps your mum has too much structure. You maybe have too little structure.
Yeah, that's true actually.
There we go. All right, interesting. So now we've possibly, just through this conversation, perhaps now starting to identify a solution, all right? I'm just wondering what having the right amount of structure in your life stroke timekeeping might look like. What like a good, healthy, right? Not too rigid, not too loose. What might that look like if you were to operate from this place in terms of managing your to-do list and your tasks, the urgent stuff, the important stuff each day?
I kind of know in my gut like part of that is me taking ownership for making my decisions every day about what's important for me, what's urgent, which we've already kind of touched upon. And then, sorry, what was the question again?
So we're talking about what the sweet spot is going to look like, in between, somewhere in between being too rigid and being too loose.
And also, making peace with just getting a few important things done every day, and then ending that. You know, there doesn't need to, I don't need to do everything in one day.
But as long as you're doing a few things each day, as long as you're actually making progress.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing you can't afford just to be keeping on putting stuff off, because tomorrow there's always going to be more things.
Yeah.
Keep on coming, because this is life.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how, you know, staying like this would impact the relationship that you're going to have with your children in a year from now, if you don't change this today.
It could be really detrimental.
Really detrimental, yeah, to what your actual goal is.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we know what your goal is. Your goal is to be available for children. We talked about that in the last session. Mm-hmm. This session here, we're looking at problems, though, and the problem seems to be your time management strategy.
It is my time management, yeah. Yeah.
All right. We understand that your mum is very, very rigid in terms of her time management, mm-hmm, and it would therefore then, it would make practical sense to me why it is that you operate at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to be like that. So,
so you don't want to be like
this.
In
the opposite direction. Yeah.
So you've gone in the opposite direction, but perhaps too far in the opposite direction.
Because I don't actually have any structure for myself.
You don't have any structure in yourself. Mm. Okay, so not having any structure for yourself, how is this? Who's winning? Who's winning here?
No one's actually winning. No, it's...
So this is lose-lose.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like I'm letting other people win because my goal is to connect with them or to keep them happy.
Okay, go ahead.
But it's actually just a feeling, which is about me.
Right, okay.
So it's a short-term win for me, but it's not a win for me in the long run.
Got you. Okay. So in terms of choosing a solution right now, right, you're going to go and implement right away, because you can't put this one off.
No.
You've got to implement this right away and start building it habitually into your life every single day. What's a win-win scenario? What's a win-win outcome going to look like?
Yeah.
So you win and other people win as well.
So this has been helpful, actually. I need more structure across the board for myself and how I manage my time. We'd already spoken previously about me kind of working on my list of things that need done and having a time every morning where I prioritise the most important things. And I've started that, but it's still a bit messy, so I've got work to do there.
It would seem to me that if you just prioritise doing important things every single day, then the chance and the likelihood of urgent things arising, which kind of brings about the stress, because urgency and time running out tend to walk hand in hand, don't they?
Urgency and time running, yes.
Yeah. Or so urgency and time running out equal stress.
Yeah.
Something like that. We're looking at a little equation here. So if you're focused on doing and prioritising important things every day, perhaps doing the things that you least want to do first, then that leaves you the rest of your day for doing things that you enjoy more.
Yes.
There's an idea I shared a few videos back. I gave reference to that Brian Tracy book, didn't I? Eat That Frog. Mm-hmm. Remember that principle of tackling and getting the things that we really don't want to do out of the way first and foremost.
Yes.
The first thing in the day, get it done. It's kind of like, I've got all these different types of vitamin and stuff like that. And you know what? I hate taking my vitamins. I really do. I actually genuinely do hate taking vitamins. I have one of these fish oil things, and I drink a bottle of water with my vitamins, and can kind of taste it for about an hour that follows. But I know that it's good for me. I know that it's good, especially now that I'm fast approaching 40. So I get it done first thing in the day, then I have my breakfast as soon as I can afterwards. Then that's it, over and done with. Sometimes doing the things that we least want to do first thing in the day gives us the rest of the day to be able to focus our energy on doing things that we are actually more passionate about doing.
Yeah, no, that fits. Just another thing came to mind there as you were speaking, that actually just starting my day earlier and getting up earlier is going to be important.
Starting a day, which is more of a discipline for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting an hour earlier and then going to bed an hour earlier or night time.
It's a really bad habit. I need to change that because there's so much more I could do in that hour first thing in the morning. which is going to set me up in the right place for the rest of the day.
What sends little warning bells in my head is, you know, work until 11 o'clock at night. Well, why would you work till 11 o'clock at night and then, you know, wake up tired in the morning and then start work a little bit later, and then you work a bit later, then you start work later, and then you work later in the nighttime? Why not flip this on its head, start earlier in the morning, so all the stuff that you don't want to get done gets your best, gets the best of your focus and your time, just to get that nailed when you're fresh-headed.
Yeah.
And then you can have your evenings and time later on the day for doing those things that you claim to want to do more of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it.
There's sometimes some really practical, common sense solutions to the problems that we have. It's not like we're trapped in the problems. No. It's just we choose not to change sometimes. We choose not to build new disciplines into our lives, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it is just logically thinking through, like what is the problem and what am I actually going to do to resolve this? Like, so simple, but...
Can you see how these frameworks that I've shared just throughout this section, the Eisenhower matrix, you know, urgent, important, win-win, lose-lose, win-lose, lose-win, mm-hmm. how this, we can use these two models just to make wise decisions about what we invest our time into right away.
Yeah, yeah. When I stop to actually analyse what I've got to do, I can see what's urgent and important. When I'm running around like a headless chicken, I don't make wise decisions about these things, you know.
Because you're so just caught up in busyness and getting
just gotta get it done, just get it done, yeah.
Which is kind of like unavailability, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're kind of being the kind of person that you don't want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, now, so we have looked at some solutions. Can we choose a solution here? What's the actual solution then? What is the actual solution for this problem?
So the solution is definitely to do with my morning. I start it earlier. I need to start it earlier.
Morning routine.
Yeah. And use that time to make wise decisions about what's urgent and important, and also at the same time having a very good system in place where I can just see like exactly what I've got to do, everything in one place, if you like.
Now, did we not talk about something like this in an earlier session?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
we did. But has this been implemented yet?
I'm still, like, because it's in such a mess, it has, I've taken steps towards cleaning it up. Like,
this is a little bit of accountability here, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still clearing up some of the mess that I'd made of letting things get so out of control.
So we're talking about building a system in place that's going to enable you to effectively manage your life, your time, the decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And if you get the system in place, then you're not going to get caught out. And there shouldn't be any reason why you're working until 11 o'clock at night.
No.
Because that doesn't seem to be even remotely commonsensical.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's not commonsensical. It's not practical. And what's that costing you, by the way? Working until 11 o'clock at night.
It costs me time for connection.
Time for connection.
Yeah.
And you're losing this time for connection. Why?
Because I haven't prioritise these urgent things earlier. I've put them off.
You put things off.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So in terms of plan of action, all right, what action steps are you going to take today and tomorrow or for the rest of this week to get this in place?
Cool. So
or would this be something that you'd also feel okay with just putting off?
No, I'm kind of up to here with this. It needs to change.
So this is now urgent and important.
Yeah.
We can see what this habit is costing you. We can see what it's potentially going to cost other people moving forward. We know it's a major source of stress in your life, but you're the one who's responsible for the stress even existence through your own ineffective time management strategy.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that the plan of action must be to build a time management system into your life. It seems that this is the only possible solution.
Yeah, it is.
It is. This is the only solution.
Yeah.
This is the wisest investment of your time and energy and effort that you can make at this stage of your life.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we're agreed on this, what is your next step? What is your actual next step?
So I've started clearing some of the mess that I've made in terms of emails being out of control and being a bit overwhelmed with everything that needs done and not having a structure. So I've started working through that and putting things into a management system. So really, it's completing that. Completing that is going to be another couple of hours' work.
And when will you have that completed by? When will you have implemented this system
I
fully?
can have it in place by the end of this week.
The end of this week.
Yeah.
So that gives you 3.5 days,
Yeah.
2.5 days. What day is it today? Wednesday. 2.5 days
Yep.
to get the system implemented in your life.
Yep.
So if we have a conversation this time next week, you would be able to talk me through your system
Yeah.
and show me how it's working, and then we can talk about how this is changing your stress levels, urgency, panic, working late at night, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this is going to, if we have this in place, this is going to practically bring a solution to this problem, isn't it? It's pretty much going to end this and also help you be far more effective with your time at the in the process.
Yeah.
Okay. So who is it that's responsible for doing this, by the way?
Me, I'm responsible for doing this.
Is there anyone else that might take responsibility for this?
No one else, no.
No one else, it's just you. First step is?
First step is continue to deal with some of the mess that I've made.
Continue to deal with the
Yeah.
mess you've made. Is that the top priority or is there another priority? Something that should be more important than that? Cleaning up the mess or should there be something coming before that? What would you say?
Actually, probably the system that I have got in place for managing tasks and to-dos needs cleared out, stripped out, and redone, if you like. And that's more
Start
important because that's going to show me.
from scratch.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it would be like the best use of your time is just going to be tackling the mess. For me, it would seem that order and structure wants to be number one priority. Then you start moving your mess into order and structure.
Yeah, that's better. That's actually a much better approach.
I don't know. It's going to be what makes best sense to you.
No, even just thinking about it like that gives me more peace because I'm like starting something new, which I get to choose what goes into that rather than
You get to choose
try
what
and
goes in
fix the
because
mess that I've made.
in the mess there might be a lot of stuff in there that's not urgent and also not important, and there'd be no point in tackling any of that stuff. That would just be a waste of your time, wouldn't it? So I guess if you've got a new structure, then you're going to be able to decide what's urgent, what's important, what comes first, what comes second, what comes third, and what just gets scrapped off your list and ignored completely.
Yeah, and in fact, now that you've mentioned that, I'm actually going to use those headings, urgent, important, because I don't do that. So
Fantastic. Karen, how have you found this conversation?
I found it really helpful. I know it's
Problem-solving
really
process.
practical, but like it's actually really helpful.
Granted, it is very, very practical. Granted, as life coaches, we can go, delve into the depths of limiting beliefs, and we can look into unhelpful thought patterns, and we can look into relationship building processes and communication skills, or we can keep things very, very pragmatic, very, very practical, and look to help our clients build practical systems and processes into their life to help them best manage their time. And as they do this, it helps them to eradicate and remove the stress and the pressure from their lives. So, what I've done here, I've just literally gone through that three-stage process in one conversation, all right? We started out just looking to explore the problem, analyze it, figure out where it's actually coming from. Who's responsible for it? Then we started to look and identify solutions. Once we'd looked at a few options, we need to make a decision on what the starting point's going to be, what the best solution is, which we agreed was going to be a system.
Time management, yeah.
Time management system,
Yep.
right? And from this time management system, then because you know what your mess is, you know what system you don't have in place, you're then practically able to see the first three steps that you can start taking and implementing today. That is going to bring peace into your life, peace which is incidentally the opposite of stress.
Yes.
So we start the conversation with stress, we ended it with peace. All right, will Karen come back in a week from now for another session full of peace? Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. If not, we will surely explore why not. So we understand Karen's pattern of a lifetime is putting stuff off. And to be honest with you, most people actually have the same issue. Some people refer to this as procrastination. Some people think procrastination is an illness or a condition or anything like this, but it's in fact not. It's just a poor time management strategy. There is no cure for procrastination. It's literally just systems that we build into our lives. So this is a conversation, demonstration, is how we do it. All right, I'm going to urge you now to visit the additional materials section, download the problem solving workbook if you haven't already done so, and start working through this with other people, right? Friends, family members, loved ones, whatever, right? Children, your neighbors, colleagues, bosses, managers, whatever, right? Guarantee you, everyone has a stress or a problem in their life, all right? The more that you practice this, the more naturally it's gonna flow for you conversationally, all right? If you're a member of a college, then go and jump and find someone to practice on right away, all right? But seriously, practice, practice, practice. So that's it. I hope you found this demonstration conversation insightful, useful on one level from the coach's perspective, but there's probably a few principles that you picked up as Karen shared openly and honestly as well. So I hope you found this conversation demonstration useful, and we'll see you again in the next clip.